Good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior. Beautiful life lessons we get from the Bible. Another one this morning. You know, we are able. We're able. Remember, the next time we're tempted to criticize someone who we feel isn't doing their job right, we're basically saying what the disciples said there. We are able. We could do a better job. And Jesus may just say to us, you know, are you willing to drink my cup? How would you take it? How would you receive it? How would you respond if someone would say that about you? I can do a better job than you. That cup that we are asked to drink, the cross that we're asked to bear. A lot of life lessons there that just help us to be conditioned to serve the Lord and to bear fruit for his kingdom. You can turn your Bibles to Psalm 104. It's been a blessing to be here already this morning. The Lord has given us a beautiful morning yesterday as well. It's cooled off. We had rain and Psalm 104, I'm just going to read the first 14 verses here. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound, that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, and the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers, and the earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. The psalm here is reminding us of God's provision for us and a wonderful God that we serve, and how he just, without his provision, that we would be, earth would be desolate. But I'm going to pick out just a phrase out of verse 14 where he says, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle. Now, maybe I chose this verse because I'm a farmer. I don't know. The other day, you know, we've been having all this rain, and the grass has just been lush this year, more than I have ever seen since I live here in southwest Missouri, generally considered kind of on the dryish side. And since I'm on one of the farms using the rotational grazing, I turned the cows into a new patch the other day, and the grass was almost as high as their backs. They almost got lost in the grass. It was so tall and lush. And how that they anticipate that. They are only a few days on one patch, and they're ready to go move to the next. They like that fresh green clover and the sweet grass that they find there. And, you know, we're in a season of the year when all over the countryside, you know, yesterday I was driving and all over the countryside as we drove through the country, there were fields of hay that had either been mowed and baled or the bales were still laying in the fields. People are gathering in their hay crops and the grass and preparing for the coming winter. And we have, you pass through the country and you have this delicious smell of the fragrance of hay that's drying. And the other day, my little grandson was helping me in the hay field, and he was had been on the tractor for about an hour, and I came out, and he said, "I just love the smell of this hay." And I just thought, you know, boy after my own heart. I love it too. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing that God has done for us here. But, you know, there are lessons that we can learn from something as simple as the grass. And that's what I want to look at this morning. A number of lessons that we can learn from the grass. The Bible tells us there, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle. There's probably no other emblem allegory or example that the scripture uses oftener, than light or water, than grass, to bring out illustrations to us, because it's all around us, it's everywhere. And we learn a lot of lessons from the grass of the field. The Bible gives it as a symbol of our mortality. You know, all flesh is as grass. The whole history of man can be seen in the grass. The grass springs up tender and green, and the flowers in the grass, and it's lush, and the cattle enjoy it. But it comes to the time when it starts to get brown and to dry up, and finally it withers, and the cycle begins again, just like man. And then it's also true that some of the grass never ripens. You know, when we put the sickle to the grass, we go out and we mow the hay, and it produces that fragrance of drying hay. That grass never made it to its maturity, and it was cut down. And so also happens sometimes to mankind. You know, we have no promise that we're going to see tomorrow, whether it's in our youth or whether it's in our old age. And we need to be ready for that sickle. You know, whatever time of life we're in, we need to be prepared so that if that happens, and we are mowed down, even in an immature age, that there's a fragrance that goes out, you know, a testimony that shines, and that encourages others to be faithful and true, regardless of what stage of life we're in. In the morning it flourishes and grows up, and the evening is cut down and withers. The Bible says, "We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. As for man, his days are as grass, as a field of the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone. The place thereof shall know it no more." This is very humbling, and we need to think of it, be reminded of it often, that we're living a day at a time. Otherwise, we could become so involved in what goes on here in this life on earth that we forget to prepare for eternity. And, you know, the time is coming when that flower will fade and die away. And then eternity looms. When we're tempted to think too importantly of ourselves, we need to remember what the Bible says. All flesh is as grass. Grass is also used in the Bible to show us that wickedness and persecution of the righteous is not going to be forever. That also has an end. And the psalmist says that, "We shall pass by the place of the wicked, and lo, he shall not be. We shall diligently consider his place, and lo, it shall not be. Because he too is soon cut down as the grass, and withers as the green herb." When we think of the egoism of an unconverted person, one who is out just to promote himself, to live for his own pleasure, to not be concerned about his soul, and not thinking about eternity, just what I can get out of life for the here and now. And, you know, that self-confidence and that pursuit of riches or whatever it might be that people do that don't know God or aren't serving Him or have no heart towards God. But, you know, old age comes. And finally, they too are going to face the grave. And the Bible compares it to thorns under the pot. You know, they burn up, they burn, they crackle, they make a noise, and then they're gone. All you have left is a little pile of ashes. Let's not be that way. Let's be productive and fruitful and in our service for God. Make a difference in the world, and not for ourselves, but for His kingdom. And then again, grass is comparable to the food and comfort that the Lord supplies for our blessing and comfort. And certainly as we think of, how helpless that we are, how helpless that we would be without God's hand. You know, there in the 23rd Psalm, he says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And we get a picture there of a lush grass, a beautiful meadow, and of sheep that are contented and well fed, and a pleasant place. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. A picture there of peace and plenty. And that's what God wants to provide for us. That's what He does and will provide for us, even in the presence of our enemies, He says. And then another thought that I can get here from this scripture: He causes the grass to grow. You know, God is the creator of the grass. We know that He created the grass before He created the animals. He had a plan there. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle. And so, as creator, you know, God can be seen in every blade of grass, every little single blade of grass has its own identity, and God is in it. And we can talk about the natural laws and the effects of natural causes and forget that these laws don't operate by themselves. They did not come into function or in existence by themselves, but there was a creator behind it all that set these things in motion. And we look at nature and we say, how beautiful, the wonders of nature. But, you know, there is a creator behind all that. And He is the one who made those things, and He is the one who deserves the glory for it. What is nature, after all? It's that which God has created for our blessing. And so the next time you lay down in a nice soft carpet of grass under a shade tree, remember that, you know, God made that. God put that there for our enjoyment and pleasure. Such a common thing. You see it everywhere, yet God is in it. And so thinking about that in our own life, you know, if God cares about the grass, every blade He has made, He has set in motion the laws of nature. How about us? How about His people, His creation, those that He made after His image? Do you think He cares about every individual? Do you think He cares about every situation or every item in your life? Not just about you, but about everything about you. I think He gives us these things to remind us of that, that God is very interested and very involved in the daily matters of our lives, even those things that we consider common and everyday. God is in the little things. You know, grass grows everywhere. It doesn't just grow in our little corner of the world. But, you know, you go up into the mountains, up in the alpine meadows, and there's grass. And the elk and the mule deer and even the grizzly bears are up there grazing on that grass. And, yeah, there may not be anybody for miles around, but it's still there. It's there. It's there for the blessing and existence of God's creation. And then you go into the city, and you know, even amid the cracked concrete of the city, you're going to find grass springing up even in those cracks. In these dry and barren places, you're going to find grass. God is at work everywhere. He is involved in working in the big picture as well as in the small details of our lives. And so that's humbling to think about that. You know, God is involved in the details, the small details of your life, the decisions that you're making, the things that you do, the things that are important to you, things that bother you. God knows all about those things, but you're only one person. The world is a big place, and God is big enough to care about those in other areas as well. God cares about the details of their lives too. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle. The Bible says, "Does God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes?" It's talking about the muzzling the ox that treads out the corn. And it says, is it because he cared about the oxen that I said that, or is it because for your sakes? And I believe that we have this this thing about grass in the Bible for the same reason. You know, is it because he cares about the growing grass for the cattle that this is written here? It's written here so that we can get a lesson from it, something for our sakes. So God cares for the beasts and makes the grass to grow for them. The cattle could not plant the grass, nor can they cause it to grow. Though they have nothing to do with all this that's happening, yet he does it all for them. And they benefit from it. And in one sense, we are a little bit like cattle. You know, we think, well, I can go out and work. I can make money. I can buy food. I can build a house. I can take care of myself. But, you know, we could do nothing of that if it wasn't for God's provision for us, giving us good health and the means to do it. There are many people, plenty of people throughout the world that would love to be able to work gainfully like we can and are not able. And so that even is a gift from God. You know, as I go out there to move my cows, generally, they're ready to move a day or two before I think they need to, because they really have an appetite for the fresh clover and grass. They love that, and they don't care so much for the stemmy stuff that's left behind. And so, generally, if they hear me coming, why, if they feel it's time to go, why, they'll start bawling, and they'll wait at the gate. But, you know, there's not a whole lot they can do. They can't even open the gate to get into the next field. They just have to wait until I open it for them. And then in just a few minutes' time, the whole herd rushes through, and they're out there just munching away, cows, calves, and everybody. And I can drive back into the old pasture, and there's not a single calf left. They're all gone. They're all moving into the new pasture. And that's kind of, you know, we can say, well, you know, we're able, like the disciples this morning. But, you know, we're not able to do anything without God's help. You know, he makes the grass grow, and he opens the gate, and he lets us in, and he invites us in. He calls us, just like I do my cows, and they come and feast on that grass. You know, cattle are dumb, speechless animals, and yet God makes the grass to grow for them. And so why would he not hear those who can speak? Why would he not hear those who can pray and who can come to him and express their desires and thank and praise him also for the good things he does for us? And coming back again to the freshly mown hay field, you know the reason we mow hay is because we know that winter is coming. If it's a normal cycle, the time is coming when the grass will stop growing or it'll be covered with ice and snow, and we need to take hay out for the cows to eat or they will go hungry. And so it is also, I think, in our lives. You know, even in times of trial and trouble, you know, God still cares for us. The cows can't go and take that hay out for themselves. I have to take it out to them. And God does the same thing for us. You know, we also face winter times in our lives when things aren't going well and it seems like we're in reverses or we have trials or health issues or whatever it might be. But, you know, in those times, God is still there caring for us and giving us those things that will sustain us even in those times of grief and pain. And then just a few closing thoughts here yet. You know, there's something about the grace of God, I think, that I see in this example or illustration of the grass growing for the cattle. You know, I'm also a creature, but I'm a creature that's higher than the cattle. I cannot imagine that God will provide all that to the cattle and not provide for me. And so we're not going to find complete fulfillment and shelter in what the world has to offer. You know, the cows, they can go out, they can eat grass, they can lay down, chew their cud, they're content, they're full, they're happy. But for us, that's not enough, just to have the things that this earth produces and that we can get from here. But we're born with a soul that longs for something deeper. And if we're going to try to find our fulfillment by the things of this world, by the riches that we can accumulate, or whatever else, we're going to be unfulfilled and discontented with the things that this earth has to offer. But there's something more that it takes to satisfy us as mortal men, as an immortal soul. And so, you know, our soul this morning should be hungering and thirsting after the things of God. Things that will nourish and satisfy the spiritual man and not just the natural. The Bible says, O Lord, satisfy my mouth with good things and renew my youth. And so while we're praying prayers like that, we also need to be meditating and thinking. You know, God has provided for the cattle, which according to their nature are only flesh, and flesh is as grass. But even though I also have a body of flesh, I have a soul that is going to continue on for eternity. We don't find the cattle bringing anything to the pasture except hunger. But they enter it, partake of their portion, and then they go lay down satisfied. And I think when we come to the Lord in that way, and I trust we're coming that way this morning, that we're coming here with a hunger and a desire to be exposed, to hear the word of God, and to hear something that's going to meet a spiritual need, that's going to go deeper than just what we get when we go to a feed meeting or whatever else that teaches us how to take care of our animals. But we're going to get something that's going to meet the need of the soul and that's going to prepare us for usefulness here and for eternity in heaven. And so let's be that way this morning as we, again, hear the word of God preached to us. And let's be thankful that God provides not only the green grass and the herb and the food for man and beast and the things that we enjoy in this life, but also he provides what we need for the life to come to satisfy our eternal soul. Shall we kneel in prayer?